Hey everybody, welcome back to The Breakdown. We're going to be breaking down Pastor Zach's really powerful word from John 1, verses 43 through 51. Be real, be a cheap date, and be ready. And to do that, with us here in the studio today is Pastor Roger Hart. Welcome.
Thank you. Good to be here.
It's awesome having you. I love your insight. I love your personal story. And, you know, as Pastor Zach was preaching, like we're wrapping up the message, and I knew exactly that you were the one that was supposed to join us here today.
Awesome.
You know, because he talked about prophetic evangelism. And I think for a lot of people, that's a phrase they've probably never heard before. But getting to know you, getting to know your personal testimony, your background, and how the Lord's worked in you spiritually, this is something that I think you've been really equipped to speak to.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm excited, man. I was getting pretty lit up with that service yesterday. And I'm excited to dive into it some more.
So going back to your own walk with the Lord, what was your experience with prophecy? Because you grew up in a more conservative church culture, right?
Definitely. Yeah, I grew up very conservative. You know, it was almost like a culture where if you were a missionary in Africa and somewhere far away and remote, it was okay to talk about miracles and God doing signs and wonders. But if you were to talk about God doing signs and wonders in your hometown or down the street or, you know, at school, it was like not okay almost. Mm-hmm. You know, it was only okay if you were a missionary in the bush far away and, it was like, then it would maybe be accepted.
It's like more of an idea or something that people believe could happen.
Yeah.
But operating and living in a position of, but it's probably not going to happen here.
Yeah. That's pretty well said. Sure. So I didn't grow up with that. I had some pretty wild experiences that kind of opened my eyes to it. I was miraculously healed of a cancerous tumor. Mm-hmm. Where a guy kind of doing street ministry prayed for me and it completely disappeared. And then the Lord came and spoke to me and was like, it's a longer story than that, but was like, whoa, this stuff's real. This is real. And then I began a journey of just searching out truth in that area and really pursuing the Lord, saying, hey God, I want to know it. If it's of you, I want to be a part of it.
That's so cool. And like, what was your heart posture? Because I've heard the whole story, and it could be its own episode, actually, like a whole trilogy even. But what was your heart posture when the guy came to you to pray for you? Like, were you believing or were you skeptical? Like, what were you thinking?
Yeah, that's a great question.
Because I think it's cool for us to like be taken into that space of like, what were you feeling? What did
totally,
you think?
Totally. Yeah, I was very kind of guarded, honestly, because, I didn't know the guy and the stories he was sharing, you know, I was kind of like, man, this guy, does he really expect me to believe this stuff? This is far out, you know?
Because you've been sick for a while at that point.
Yeah, I had been working through some stuff for a couple of years. And anyway, long story short, I was kind of guarded, but I also had a relationship with the Lord where I was like, okay, God, if this is real, show me it's real. Mm-hmm. And if it's not, show me this guy is full of it, you know?
Yeah.
And just like off base. And, you know, I was open to I just wanted truth, you know, even more than I wanted to know or be healed necessarily. Right. It was just like, God, I just want to know if this is real. Even if I don't get healed, I just want to know truth because I'm tired of, you know, the two-sided thing. Like some people are saying it all, you know, yes, I see healing all the time. And then other people are saying, no, that doesn't exist anymore, you know? Mm-hmm. And so the Lord really showed up and he really honored my prayer and my request to know. Mm. And I physically was healed and it was really incredible. It sent me on that journey of just pursuing the Lord, telling him, I don't care how far it is, how hard it is, how much it costs, how long it takes, you know, where I have to go. I said, I just want to know who you are. And the Lord just began sending me on this journey of like experiencing, which was really, really special.
That is really cool. And then, so what did that look like for you as far as, you know, growing in this new reality of what the power of the Holy Spirit is in our life? What did that look like for you practically?
Yeah, well, first thing, I ended up working with some different missions organizations, and I ended up in Hawaii with YWAM for a little bit, and then I was in Africa with another organization, and when I went to Africa, it really, really shook me. I was living in the bush and in very remote places, and was able to just see the Lord show up with signs and wonders. Mm-hmm. And it was like, I don't know. And some people would say, well, why does things happen there and not here? And, you know, I think there, I don't have really answers for that necessarily, but I have seen the Lord work here as well on the streets of Baltimore City a lot, actually, before I moved to New England. Just getting to see the Lord move in real time in people's lives, physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally. But it, I think it's, a lot of it has to do with putting yourself out there, taking risk, not having the answers, not having the ability to conjure something up, but really stepping out and saying, if this doesn't work, I'm going to look like a fool, you know, sometimes, you know what I mean? Not that we should pursue those things because of that necessarily, but I think the Lord calls us to, often to like a reckless faith where it's like, do you believe this or not? You know,
right?
And it really is a choice to trust him.
And like, how far are you willing to let me use you?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Cause I think like I've seen the Lord like move. And even when I went on my mission trip and then even here, like you, the more that you just trust the Lord and you take him at his word. Like I remember when I, there was an experience where I had to pray for someone and they did get healed. But I remember this internal dialogue inside of myself where I'm like, I'm feeling a fear or like a, is like, what, like what's going to happen? What if it doesn't happen? And the only thing that came through my mind was like the Lord, a thought that I believe was from the Lord, which is, what do you believe to be true?
Yeah.
And I just knew, okay, I believe that God heals.
Yeah.
And it just started with that. It was as simple as that.
Yeah.
And then just praying and then allowing God to show up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that, you know, when we think of operating in healing and operating in signs and wonders and being a vessel for the Holy Spirit, I think we can sometimes get it wrong where we somehow think like, oh, it's up to me to like conjure this up.
Yeah. And if it doesn't happen, then what did I do wrong?
Right.
You know? There's a lot of that, and it can get kind of messy sometimes when you get into all of that, you know?
Right.
So I think keeping it more simple, you know, is often the better path to take, I think.
I agree. You know? I agree, yeah.
Yeah. But no, I love how Pastor Zach was talking about prophetic evangelism, and basically if you're new to this, or this is, you know, something you've never heard of, you know, at HPC, we believe God still speaks to us and, that we all have ears to hear. And that doesn't always mean audibly. Sometimes it does, but sometimes it's you sensing in your spirit or in your heart, or the Lord is speaking to you in a different way, but, really partnering with the Lord to go out and love people really well. And, you know, I think a lot of times, that means physical healing. That means a word of knowledge, which is knowing something about somebody that you couldn't know, or a prophetic word, giving somebody a word that the Lord has downloaded to you or through you for that person about their future or their present. You know, we jokingly call it reading their mail sometimes. You know, like if somebody comes up and reads my mail, they're like giving me a word of knowledge or something that's so precise. And it's like, whoa, like, how did you know that about me? And we've seen some really wild things,
of course,
which is fun because it's just a testimony. It's a sign that makes you wonder, like like we've heard before. It's you know, you're like, whoa, like that they couldn't have known that. In
right.
John 1, the verse Pastor Zach pulls out was he says, you know, I saw you under the fig tree. He's like, how did you know that? Basically, like, how did you see me there? No one knew I was there. How did you weren't there? How it's impossible for you to know that. Which is just a really cool experience. And I think it's the loving kindness of the Lord to really do that for us, you know, and let us be a part of it.
Amen.
It's really fun.
Amen.
Yeah.
I thought it was really cool on Friday night for our huddle with the kids before,
yeah.
before youth group.
Yeah.
We were talking about how you and your friends and some other ministry opportunities that you'd had in the past, you'd go out on these things called treasure hunts.
Yeah.
And what you guys would do before. Just explain that for everyone listening, because I feel like that's a really good example of, you know, some lessons that we can learn about how to prepare our hearts for prophetic evangelism and just walking in a greater measure of sensitivity to the Holy Spirit.
Sure. No, it's great. So treasure hunts, I think that term was coined out in Redding, California at Bethel Church. I spent some time out there, and basically we'd get together one night a week and we would just seek the Lord together in the church. And we would pray for maybe 30 minutes, an hour, and we'd just pray and just pursue the Lord for direction. And sometimes the Lord would give us a place. He would give us a description of a person or a location or something like that. And then our job as followers of Jesus, and we would just go to those places, and we would basically take the orders from the Lord and just go. And sometimes he'd say, you'd sense something like, oh, I see this street sign and it's this street. So you'd find that street, you'd go there, and then you would pursue the Lord for the next thing. And the whole idea treasure hunt was really following this treasure map that the Lord is giving you to find the person that he wants you to pray for. Or, we've had everything from just going and, sharing the gospel with people, or sometimes, the Lord would be as specific as to give you an exact description of somebody with their ailment. Mm-hmm. And then you'd show up to that place.
And you'd see that person.
And you'd see that person with that ailment, and you'd pray for them and they would get healed. And it's just wild. It's very faith building too, when you press in. And I think a lot of people, if they haven't done it, I know for me too, it was like, I don't know about this. But the more you kind of press into the Lord and develop that language and learn to speak that language with the Lord, it's definitely it's almost like any language. You have to learn the language. So you develop the relationship with the Lord, and he begins to speak, and your job is just to be obedient,
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
And as you're talking, I'm thinking back to when Jesus sent out the 72 disciples, and they went out and they operated in signs and wonders. They operated in casting out demons and in healings and all the things that Jesus, commanded them to do and go out and proclaim his message.
Right.
And Jesus sent them out in pairs. And I think that that's something that we can also draw from this. And even definitely in your story, it's we are stronger together.
Yeah.
And as we grow, because this is something that we grow in. Mm-hmm. If you're listening, you're like, what are you guys even talking about? So if you are a believer in Jesus, if you have accepted Jesus as your Savior, then the Holy Spirit comes and lives inside of you. So when you go out and do what we're calling prophetic evangelism, it's not just you going out and talking. It's you are now saying, I am a vessel of the Holy Spirit. My life is to be a vessel.
Right.
And I now say and am led by the Holy Spirit. I say what he leads me to say. And Jesus says, where two or more are gathered together, I am there with them. Yeah. So if you want to grow in this, you get some friends, like other believers, and say, we are going to truly seek the Lord, and the Lord's going to guide us into where we're going to go. And then you just go out, and then you test what God shows you, if it lines up with scripture, it's probably him. If it's going to point people to Jesus, probably his thought going through your head.
Yeah.
And this is what Pastor Zach was getting at, where he said at the beginning of the message, he's like, the world needs a robust evangelism that is accompanied by a prophetic voice. So what he's saying is we need more than just, just like a billboard saying, Jesus is the answer.
Right.
Right. Which that God can use that. God can definitely use that.
Right.
But for us as individual believers, the world needs someone who will go out and step into their world.
Yeah.
And be willing to be the mouthpiece of God to that person, because God knows the person standing in front of you.
Yeah.
We don't.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I love it. I think sometimes we get comfortable being in the church and just expecting people to show up, to our building or whatever we're doing. But it's like, isn't it more like a fisherman when you get in a boat and you paddle out to the
yes.
to the unknown places. And,
yes.
You know, and you're casting your nets out and you're throwing the lines out and you're catching and you're pursuing a certain thing. And I think the Lord meets us in that place of tenacity even.
Yes.
To see the Lord have his way, you know? Yeah. But it is really fun. I've heard it. A pastor of mine, John Baylor, down in Baltimore, he kind of explained it this way. He said, you know, when you were a kid and it was like, take your kid to work day, and you'd go with your mom or dad to their place of business and you'd see what they do and hang out with them for the day at work. And it was kind of like that. When we go out of the house, we're saying, hey, God, like, I'm your kid. Like, show me the family business. Take me to work with you. Show me what you do on a daily basis. And we know the Lord's in the business of healing and salvation and deliverance and right. freedom and loving people. And we get to see him. We're at the grocery store. Say, hey, God, I'm here to get milk and eggs, but what are you doing here?
Yes.
What are you doing here at the grocery yes. store today, Lord? And watch him change your perspective.
Mm-hmm.
When you go there saying, hey, I'm a vessel being willing to be filled up and poured out wherever and however you want to fill me up and pour me out, Lord, you're going to see God starting to move your heart. And you're probably going to be challenged to speak to people or to go out and do things that are honestly kind of weird and
yes.
culturally
yeah.
not normal,
yeah.
you know, to talk to strangers and to, mm-hmm. you know, whatever, pray for people in public. It can be very uncomfortable for you at times because you're not used to doing that potentially or possibly. And but it's fun. It's
yes.
really fun to see the Lord work, to partner with him in a tangible way, to see the love of God come through you and impact people. And you will be amazed at some of the things that the Lord leads you to.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And, you know, it could be just as simple as like you're there in the store and you get a prompting.
Yeah.
I should go invite that person to my church.
Yeah.
You know, that might seem really small to you,
yeah.
but God knows that person's story. And he's like, yeah, I just need you to go and tell them to come to church.
Yeah.
Then it could be something as like, as, you know, we could call it bigger as like, okay, you need to go pray. You need to ask them about their marriage or ask them about this or that, mm-hmm. or, you know, it, whatever you're feeling from the Lord.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And again, it's important, read God's word, because you start to understand his voice and his heart through his word.
Mm-hmm.
You'll be able to know is like, okay, is this something that's in line with the heart of God? If it's yeah. in line with the heart of God,
yeah.
just step out. It's a risk, right? But if it's going to point them to Jesus, it's worth it.
Yeah.
And even if they're like, that's kind of weird, you just say, well, you know, I really feel like the Lord was wanting me to ask you that. And, you know, just know that God sees you and God loves you,
yeah.
you know, and see where it goes. Like, it's not a script we can follow. And I think,
right.
I think that's where we can sometimes get afraid. I know like that's an area where I've had to grow in. It's like, well, there's no like formula mm-hmm. to this.
Sure.
Cause there really isn't.
Yeah.
It's just, are you going to be a vessel for the Lord?
Yeah. I think, some of the things you can just remember if you do start kind of walking out what we're talking about would be, make sure it's obviously the Lord's not going to ask you anything that doesn't line up with scripture.
Right.
He's not going to ask you to do anything that doesn't line up with that. That's not biblical
right.
Or true. But also it's all out of love,
mm-hmm.
right? And it's all out of love. And so, you know, sometimes it is just, the Lord says, hey, go tell that attendant over there that Jesus loves them. It could be something as simple mm-hmm. as that. And we, if you've grown up in the church, you're going to be like, oh, that's so silly. But there's literally people who've never heard that, you know, in our communities. They've never been told that.
Yeah.
And that's the crazy thing to me. It's like, whoa, like somebody that's never heard that Jesus loves them.
Yep.
You know? And so, and that's a reality. You know, but it also could be, you know, the Lord gives you a word for somebody. And mm-hmm. And he wants you to go share it with them or pray for them. But I think always be uber respectful, uber
yes.
honoring, you know, kind, humble. Be ready for somebody to like be okay if somebody rejects you
yes.
in that sense.
Yeah.
But just loving people mm-hmm. where they're at.
Yeah,
you know, it's not for us. It's for really doing it for the Lord, just to let him love people through us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, as you're talking, you're just hearing this, sensing like that what the Lord calls us to do is to address the humanity that's in front of us and their need for Jesus.
Yeah.
There's a testimony, and you can go look it up, but this guy, Joshua Broom, he was a porn star, like a very, very popular one. And what broke him, because he was dealing with depression and like suicidal thoughts, and he went to the bank and he had to cash a check. And so his name's on the check. And then the attendant after said, "Is there anything else I can help you with today, Joshua?" And he said that that was the first time in months that someone had addressed him by his actual name and not his stage name.
Yeah.
And that broke him.
Whoa.
It really, really broke him. And I think that's something that the Lord is calling us to. It's like, you know, sometimes just walking in what Jesus is going to call you to do is just treat people like people who are broken and who need him.
Totally.
And to call out their humanity, to call out their identity, because that's what Jesus wants. Is he wants to raise them as his son or daughter.
Right. No, that's great. Because I was thinking before you even said that, was like, sometimes it's simple and it's just kindness that the Lord wants you. You know, maybe you're in the grocery store and you're, you know, usually used to looking down and being in a rush, and the Lord just wants you to look up and see people and say, "Hey, how are you doing today? You know, can I get that for you? You want to reach that thing on the top shelf? You know, how's your day going?" And it's just like breaking out of that norm. And just, it doesn't have to be super spiritual. It doesn't have to be all this spiritual
jump you know, to the prayer.
Yeah. It's like, hey, maybe the Lord, all wants you to do is just say, "Hey, I hope you have a great day today." Mm-hmm. You know, and Jesus works through that too.
Amen.
You know, kindness.
Amen.
His kindness leads us to repentance.
Amen.
You know.
So going into the message a little more specifically, what was a thought that was standing out to you that you'd want to flesh out with us here?
Man, I loved one of the first points is Jesus is the true reality. From Amen. Brian Simmons' translation, the Passion Translation. And then Zach was like, just be real with God. He's the true reality, so you can be real with him, you know, about where you're at and what you're feeling. And even in these situations, you feel the Lord's asking you to do something out of your comfort zone. Be real with him. Mm-hmm. Hey, God, like, that's really uncomfortable for me to do that. Like, I actually don't even want to do that, you know, and just dialoguing with the Lord about it. He already knows your heart. He already knows what you're thinking and feeling. So just dialoguing. He's known as the Wonderful Counselor for a reason.
Amen. Know, amen.
Being real with him.
And you know, Pastor Zach in that section of the message was talking about, you know, for us to be real with the Lord, it's like you can't have an agenda. So it's really just surrendering to him and receiving from him.
Yeah.
Because I have to be postured to receive. To be real is to be postured to receive and recognize his lordship. You know, like Pastor Zach was bringing up how the disciples were always like they always were harboring hidden agendas, and I think we have to look in our own life, like, where am I harboring a hidden agenda?
Right. Because
it's part of our, you know, our brokenness, and like as and God works that out of us. But like, you know, the disciples that wanted to know who was going to sit at his right hand or his left hand in his kingdom.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, it's good. That's good. The other point I really enjoyed was be a cheap date.
Yeah.
You know, don't make, you know, just to kind of believe the Lord and don't try to disprove him or argue with him. But, you know, and it's not saying be, you know, naive necessarily. But it is kind of like, hey, God, like if you said it, I'm going to believe it.
Amen. Yeah.
And you're actually saving yourself a lot of work sometimes and effort to disprove the Lord and to just receive the truth that he's already speaking to you, you know?
Right. Right.
I know our skepticism in our minds are, you know, the flesh always wants to be skeptical and say, well, I've seen all these bad stories and heard all these things and seen this thing on 2020 about this or that, or it's like, well, the Lord told me this before and I don't know if I'm going to believe him again. Maybe you had a bad experience, but, I don't know. The Lord wants to meet us in all of those places, you know?
Yeah. And, you know, I appreciated how Pastor Zach highlighted Jesus' interaction with Nathanael, where he says, here is a true son of Israel.
Yeah.
And sure. How that, you know, that highlights how Nathanael was like really, you know, he was keeping himself pure. He wasn't,
right.
He wasn't incorporating anything from the world, you know, and because Rome was part of that culture at that time.
Right.
And with Rome, they bring in everything else from Roman culture.
Right.
A lot of worldliness, you know,
definitely.
But he wanted to stay true. And there's this, there's no deceit in Nathanael. Mm-hmm. Like, so he wants to be honest. He wants to be true. He wants to be pure. He's discerning.
Yeah.
But when Jesus shows up, for him,
yeah,
you know, he accepts it,
yeah,
right away, and yeah. It's like, so it's true. Like we need to be ready to accept the Lord, but yeah. We do also have to have this discernment and to notice like when he does show up.
Yeah, yeah, I think being set apart, you know, and you know, people think, oh man, things are bad now, but I'm like, the Roman Empire was gnarly.
Mm-hmm.
Like the things that were going on during this time, and there was a lot of gnarly stuff happening, you know,
right?
Seedy stuff, and people were living in it and trying to live a pure, holy life in the midst of all of that happening,
right?
You know, I don't think it was that much different than today if we were to really study history, but really being set apart. But it's beautiful because, you know, that's was his heart's desire, and then the Lord met him there too, you know,
right.
It wasn't immediately, he probably was like, you know, like anybody struggling or striving for something, and then eventually the Lord shows up, and just like the gratitude and the response, the quick response from Nathanael is really beautiful, you know?
Amen. Yeah. Amen. You know, because like we don't get all the details of, you know, what Nathanael was thinking about under the fig tree or even like what mm-hmm. was going on. It was just And I think that that's left out on purpose because it's not about exactly what was going on with his situation. It was
right.
It was more about what's being highlighted in this exchange is that Jesus was calling Nathanael as a disciple.
Yeah.
But he showed him that he knew him, that mm-hmm. he saw him.
Mm-hmm.
And you can go if you're a follower of Jesus or if you're coming into a relationship with Jesus. What you're going to be drawn to, what drew you to Jesus is a sense of knowing that Jesus saw you and that you needed him.
Yeah, yeah.
Like there's a recognition of who Jesus is, and it's like, oh, he sees me, and I need him,
right.
And I have to leave everything to go after him.
Yeah, great. So good. Be ready for more was the last point that I wrote down. Be ready for more, you know. You will do greater things than I. And I don't know the original language there, but he kind of went into it, and it was greater. The word for that was intensity, in greater intensity.
Yes.
I thought that was a really interesting, mm-hmm. you know, example of that where, you know, some people try to say, oh, well, it just means there's more Christians now, so it's going to be in greater number. But the word actually means intensity, which is intensity of power, which is really cool. So I think that kind of stirs you up to expect more, and it's our invitation to from the Lord himself to say, hey, like Jesus said, you'll do even greater things. Like here's your invitation right out of the gate.
Amen.
Like, do you believe it?
Yeah.
Take the Lord for his word.
And that's what I think we need to do like right now. If you're listening to this, you need to pause and really confront anything inside of you that is resistant to that.
Yeah.
Because Satan wants to incapacitate you. Mm. He does not want you to operate in the fullness of the power that you have been given as a child of God.
Right.
So you need to stop and you have to confront that and ask yourself, do I believe that greater things can come through me?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because that's what Jesus said.
Yeah.
So all we have to do is take him at his word.
Right.
And I just really encourage you to do that because when you receive that power, when you receive that, it's the reality of what you truly have been given. and then you start to operate in the fullness of that, your life takes on a greater meaning.
Right.
It takes on a greater purpose. The Lord's going to show you more things in your life that need to go too. So
right.
that's where it's like following Jesus can get harder. But it's like, you know, where we're going, Jesus is like, okay, you got to leave behind that unforgiveness. All right, this area of your life, we got to clean this up. Mm-hmm. But that's part of the kingdom coming in your own life and then through your life.
Right. It's great. Really good. Really good. I love it, man. I get pretty stoked. I get pretty stoked on this. It's just a really cool invitation. Should we end with a prayer?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Cool. Absolutely.
All right. So let's pray. If you're in a place where you can just put your hands out and just settle yourself for a second, let's just receive this together. So Holy Spirit, we invite you to come. And even though you're here, God, with us, we say, come. We want to make sure that we welcome you into our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our souls, our spirits. God, we ask for you to ignite our spiritual senses, Lord, that we can see with our natural eyes and hear with our natural ears, God. But the Bible talks about our spiritual senses, to just open our eyes that we can see and open our ears to hear, Lord, that we want to hear your voice. We want to hear you speaking
yes,
to us. We want to see what you're doing around us. We want to see you highlighting people in the grocery store that we're maybe meant to love on, just a simple hello, or maybe it's a word of knowledge.
Yes, God.
Lord, we pray that anybody experiencing fear, that we just rebuke that fear to just be gone in Jesus' name, that we would take you for your word, Lord, knowing yes. that you'll say, we'll do even greater things. That's an invitation to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, that we've got that that signet ring on our finger with all of heaven backing us. We've got your Holy Spirit to lean on and to guide and direct us. And so, Lord, I pray that if there's anybody out there feeling the desire and the call to move in these kind of things and to go out and step out of their comfort zone, I pray that you would empower them. I pray that you would give them wisdom and discernment. I pray that you would give them peace. But most importantly, Lord, I pray that you give them humility and love to walk in the gentleness and love, but also the mighty power of Jesus, going out and loving people, healing the sick, raising the dead, casting out demons,
yes.
preaching the gospel and loving people and serving people really well, and whatever that looks like. And we just invite that creativeness from you, Creator God, to fill us up. And to show us creative ways to love people, and fearless ways to go out and to just be Christians, be little Christs, doing everything you call us to do, with love, with boldness, and with joy. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Well, Roger, amen. Thank you so much for sharing.
Dude, thanks for having me, man.
Thanks for sharing from your heart, from your experience.
Yeah, for sure.
And we're looking forward to hearing stories of how God's working in your life.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If you have been challenged by this and you see a testimony of this, just let us know. Let us know, because yeah. our church body, we share in one another's testimonies.
Absolutely.
So go out there and be the vessels of the Holy Spirit, and we'll see you on Sunday.
Yeah. Can't count on